This is Health First with Dave Fuller, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, our guest in this half hour is Joe Graydon. He is one of Canada's leading consumer pharmacology experts, and he's written a book with his wife, Teresa Graydon. She's a medical anthropologist. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you today.
Is Teresa there as well?
She's not at the moment, but she could join us if you like.
Oh, well, I just thought, wasn't sure if you were coming, they were both coming on or not, but I'm happy to have you. Now, tell us a little bit about this book and why you wrote it. It has had to do with your mother, didn't it?
It had a great deal to do with my mother. But first, I have to say that for the last 35, almost 40 years, we have been writing about dangerous drug interactions, how when one medicine is added to another medicine, it can lead to unexpected and, in some cases, disastrous consequences. We've been trying to protect people. We couldn't protect my own mom. Hmm. She was at a major hospital in the United States. She was getting what we thought was good care, but while she was asleep, a resident injected a medication into her intravenous line. That medication interacted with medicine that she was taking that led to something called serotonin syndrome, in which she had uncontrollable muscle contractions, incredible anxiety, an unbelievably bad reaction. This happened after she had had what is called a procedure to open a coronary artery, one coronary artery. When you do that, the patient needs to be kept quiet without moving. She was thrashing around for hours. The next morning, she bled to death and died when she fell going to the bathroom.
Mm. Yeah, it's a sad story. And how often does this happen in hospitals?
Far more often than people would imagine. Hundreds of thousands of people die every year as a result of medical mistakes, infections that they acquire in hospital, as a result of incorrect medications, wrong doses, wrong combinations, just as the kind of situation that happened with my mother. And yet, it's pretty much a silent epidemic. For the most part, the medical profession doesn't keep good track of these errors, doesn't acknowledge them, does not take responsibility for them, and no changes have taken place in decades.
Joe, I want to get this straight. You said hundreds of thousands of people are dying in North America as a result of screw-ups. Is this every year, or is this over decades?
Every year. In fact, depending on who you ask and how you slice and dice the numbers, medical mistakes are either the third leading cause of death in North America or quite possibly the leading cause ahead of cancer and heart disease. But regardless of how you determine it, clearly medical mistakes are a major killer in North America every year, and no one is tackling the problem.
Why is that?
It's a third rail issue. One of the big problems is misdiagnosis. It's estimated that anywhere from about 5 to 15% of all diagnosis is incorrect. Huh. If you are incorrectly diagnosed, that means that you will be receiving the incorrect treatment. The incorrect treatment can harm you and certainly won't help you. So if you go off the tracks at the very beginning and say, oh my goodness, the doctor misdiagnosed my heart condition for indigestion, this is a real problem. Doctors don't like to talk about misdiagnosis. It's a very scary situation. So the very first issue is the getting the diagnosis correct, and patients have to be much more actively involved in that process than they have been in the past. But then when it comes to the treatment, we need to make sure that the treatment is actually going to be helpful and not harmful, and far too often it's harmful. And then you get to the whole issue of other kinds of mistakes. Like something as simple as hand washing, it turns out, is unfortunately quite common. But even now that doctors are beginning, and nurses for that matter, to wash their hands in order to try and reduce the risk of hospital-acquired infections, which kill about 100,000 people a year, what about the stethoscope? When's the last time you saw your health professional clean their stethoscope? A study came out just last week suggesting that stethoscopes are even dirtier than doctors' hands. They're rarely cleaned. They're rarely sterilized. And yet they go from patient to patient to patient, transferring microorganisms that could be very hazardous.
Joe, does society need to change in terms of our relationship with medical professionals so that this misdiagnosis, these mistakes are permitted to stop?
For reasons that are not entirely understandable to me, doctors are literally unaccountable. I mean, we hear a lot about malpractice, but it really represents, in terms of litigation, but it's really relatively uncommon. I mean, there was a lovely Doonesbury cartoon this past weekend in which there was a banker who was sort of complaining, you know, a Wall Street banker, you know, why have you guys been picking on me? Why are you making life so hard for us bankers? Well, because the 2008 Wall Street crash was your fault because you've cheated and you've lied and you've done all of these terrible things. And the banker is sort of going, well, it's not my fault. Don't blame me. It's not nice of you. Well, doctors, to a certain extent, react the same way. If you say to physicians, you've misdiagnosed a lot of people, what are you doing to fix it? They say, well, don't blame us. It's not our fault. It's the system. We don't have enough time. We're too busy. And to a certain extent, that's true. They are too busy. But we have somehow as a society put up with misdiagnosis. We put up with the mistakes, with the infections. We say, oh, it just goes with the territory. And we've given the health profession a free pass. I think it's time for society to say, we need to hold health professionals accountable. We need to start reducing these mistakes. Let me give you a very quick example. If you remember a couple of years ago, a couple of pilots in the U.S. apparently, well, it's not clear if they fell asleep or if they just got so engrossed in their conversation that they flew past their destination city, which I think was Minneapolis. They realized that they'd gone too far and they'd missed the airport. After about, oh, maybe 45 minutes to an hour, they turned around and they came back and they landed successfully. They were the laughing stock of the airline profession, and they were soundly reprimanded, and I believe they were fired. Now, no one was harmed. No bad things happened except people landed a couple hours beyond their normal schedule. When things happen on airlines, pilots are held accountable. When people die in hospitals or outpatient surgical centers or nursing homes or clinics because of mistakes, for the most part, people are not held accountable. That has to change.
Hmm. Joe, you talked about doctors screwing up diagnosis. So if I go in with a indigestion and they say it's indigestion and not a heart problem, why is that happening? You said 15% of the time. What's causing that with doctors?
Well, a lot of times doctors make a very quick diagnosis. In fact, when you go into that little cubicle and you wait in that little gown, freezing your bottom off, and in comes the doctor in a hurry, oftentimes you are interrupted from telling your whole story after about 15 to 20 seconds. And many studies show that doctors make snap judgments. And if they assume, oh, you're a little on the overweight side and you said something about eating pizza and having a beer at the game last night, the assumption is, well, you probably just ate the wrong food. You know, here's a purple pill that'll solve your heartburn problem, without necessarily doing several other tests that might be revealing. And the same thing happens with stroke. stroke is often misdiagnosed because the patient comes in complaining of a bad headache, but they may not mention some of the other symptoms that are classic for a stroke. Well, a lot of times the symptoms are not classic. So if you're in a hurry and you make a snap judgment and the patient doesn't say, wait a minute, doctor, what else could it be? What's the what they refer to as the differential diagnosis? What other possibilities could exist, and how do we rule them out together? And what should bring me back to the emergency department if things don't get better within the next couple of hours? You know, taking that little extra time to rule out every other possibility can save a life.
We're talking with Joe Graydon. He's written a book called Top Screw-Ups Doctors Make and How to Avoid Them. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be finding out more about what you can do to protect your health.